Indeed it does, and we thank you for being here with us on this Monday. Hope you had a fantastic weekend. Jason H.W. Ross, the best there is, the best there was, and the best there ever will be. I'm Damian Barling. Raiders had a fantastic weekend. Couldn't have asked for much more. The Chargers lost, and the Broncos got annihilated, and I think the Broncos are completely out of the conversation. Yeah. Couldn't have gone any better for them. Of course, they do have the Patriots after the bye.
Who's hot?
So there's that. Yeah. Well, they're due. They're due for a slip up.
They'll beat them in Mexico.
Of course.
Yeah.
Hopefully, it counts in Mexico, right?
It does.
I've heard some things don't count.
Yeah. No, it's the same conversion rate. The win is the same.
Okay. The Cowboys, they lost. Their playoff chances are diminishing seemingly here by the tweet with the news that Sean Lee may be out a while. And the 49ers got their first win of Woo-hoo! The season. We're going to shift attention now to your Sacramento Kings, who are in the nation's capital tonight to take on the Washington Wizards. Happy to bring in a member of the Washington Wizards broadcast team, Kara Lawson. Kara, can you work in a mid-range city reference during the telecast tonight?
And this gets me what in exchange?
Props in Sacramento?
Yeah. Like
we're mid-range city, number one in one stat and one stat only.
Yeah, but we're number one in it.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's not you're not sweetening the pot for me at all, guys. It's just I'm not sure that just a request is going to get something onto our telecast, you know.
Sacramento Twitter will go nuts for it, though. Like, it's a thing now. We made it a thing.
And they will go nuts because they'll be watching Grant and Jerry.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, but if we get the clip and Kara, then we will spread the word. And then, you know, you already get love in Sacramento, but it'll be spread throughout. No?
I'll definitely take it under consideration.
Yeah, that sounds like a no.
I'm strangely used to this. I can't lie. All right, Kara. So the Kings have been able to get a couple of wins since the last time you saw them. When you were here in Sacramento, it was not fun. It was a really bad game. The Wizards won by, 30-plus. When you go back and study, film to get ready for matchups, is there anything that you can get from that game?
Not too much. Remember, George Hill and Zach Randolph did not play in that contest. And, those guys are significant pieces of the rotation, starters. And so it was just a different feel. I thought Washington overwhelmed Sacramento in that first half and the young players. And I'm not sure it would have been the same had George and Zach played. Not that Washington wouldn't have won the game, but I don't know that in such a dominant fashion. So this team, especially, I was with the guys this morning at Shoot Around, the Wizards, they're expecting a different Sacramento team with those veterans in the lineup.
You know, Kara, I don't know if you know why a guy like George Hill is struggling. He's been a better professional than he is his first run here in Sacramento's first handful of games. I know he had a little bit of a toe issue last year with Utah. I don't know if that's bothering him, but he's just not the same guy. Do you see it as just a different system or why he might be struggling so much here in Sacramento?
So a team is like – a team is interconnected, right? And so when you play on a team, you are dependent on the skill sets of everybody around you to be successful. And, George Hill's not a superstar. He's a solid player. Well, look at his background and look where he's been. He's been in San Antonio. He's been in Indiana with Paul George and David West. He's been in Utah with Gordon Hayward and Rudy Gobert and these talented, talented veteran people. And so I think George Hill's been a beneficiary of these teams that have been great. And I'm not saying he's not a good player. He was a solid contributor to those, but he was a part of that, of those successful organisms. Now he's in a situation where he's playing with a lot of young players, and it's different. The culture is different, and they're growing and trying to become that down the road. Well, it's much harder as a veteran to go from playing with veteran teams to now playing with a really young team. And so I think that factors in all the way. I think the expectation for George coming into the season was probably a little high from everybody all the way around, because they'd seen him in those successful teams and organizations and thought, hey, you know what, that's automatically going to translate. And it doesn't work that way when you have a young team. It takes time, and it's not going to just be plug and play, and he's going to continue to give you the same production that he's given you in those areas.
Kara Lawson of the Washington Wizards broadcast team with us here on the Lowdown. Kara, I want to stick with the point guards here for a second. You know, I mean, no one is more familiar with point guards than you are, and you mentioned that George Hill was out in that first matchup between the Wizards and the Kings here in Sacramento. That was De'Aaron Fox's first start as a professional basketball player. What is the difference between a point guard coming off the bench and a point guard starting?
Well, when you start, you have a little more responsibility, because you control how your team begins a game and what type of momentum you're going to have. You have a little bit more control over tempo. You have more rotation regularity, meaning you're playing with the same groups of people consistently. When you start a game, you're going to play right off the bat, usually 5-6 minutes straight with that group at the start of the first quarter, and then also at the start of the third quarter. So it's a lot easier to find your rhythm. When you're coming off the bench, you're usually coming in because something's wrong, so they're going to the bench to try and fix it. Or you're coming in and you're playing with different people every time you come in. So you know, just that's I think a lot of times people get caught up with guys, and they'll say, well, he wants to start and he really shouldn't worry about it. It's just much more comfortable to start because of that. That's why people want to start, because you know when you're going to play, you know when you're going to come out. And you don't get that when you're coming off the bench. So, you know, it's better all the way around, you know, in my opinion, to be a starter. You just kind of have a greater set of expectations of what's going to come during the games.
Kara, since we saw your team last, Washington, I think they're 3-3 since, and there's a couple of quirky losses in there. They had the loss, a big loss to Dallas as far as discrepancy of score. Lost another one in there to Phoenix. So, you know, teams they're better than. What's going on since we've seen you? I mean, 3-3 is just okay, and a couple of quirky losses. What's going on with the Wizards right now?
It feels like we've lived an entire season in terms of up and down with this group since we played in Sacramento. Some disappointing losses against teams that are under 500, a lot under 500, and young teams. Teams that you would say, hey, Washington should beat them. So this team very much looks like a team that, you know, that 7-5 could very easily be 9-3 or 10-2, and those missed opportunities. But this is a group that's starting to round into form. And one of the things that is different about Washington since Sacramento played the Wizards is that there's Markieff Morris back in the lineup. He was not in the lineup on that West Coast trip. He makes such a big difference for this team. He's played really, really well. Two best games of the season this week, the last two games, scoring, being able to shoot from three. He starts at the power forward position, but they'll run some time with him at center when they get their smaller lineup in. And he's not 100%, but, man, is he been efficient, and does he give them a lot of versatility on the defensive end of the floor. So with him back in the lineup, now you've got Kelly Oubre shifting to the bench, and you've got a little more firepower coming off the bench. So this team is starting to look like the team that everyone expected them to be at the start of the season with Keith now back and healthy.
You know, Kara, we had this conversation with Doug Christie a few days ago, and you guys would kind of be the authority on this topic. It's been a weird start to the NBA season. You know, we have the Cavs, a game under 500, but that feels like it's par for the course. We have Orlando playing well, Detroit playing really well. And, you know, obviously Boston playing better than anybody in the world right now. But you mentioned, you know, the weird start for the Wizards and, you know, a few other teams out there. Is there, you know, Doug really pointed to the schedule starting a couple of weeks early. What would you attribute kind of the weird and maybe slow starts for some of these teams so far this season?
it's really just basketball. I mean, think about it. If you're going to win, let's say, 50 games, which is a successful season, you go 50-32. So that's 18 games over 500. A lot of times it's not – you have stretches where you play 500 basketball. And sometimes it's schedule, sometimes it's guys being out, whatever it is. Those teams that are quote-unquote struggling, like a Cleveland, like, I'm not worried about Cleveland at all. I'm not worried about them one bit. Remember, they are missing Isaiah Thomas, who, trading away Kyrie Irving, all of a sudden you lose one of your biggest guys, and Isaiah's not back yet. They're still figuring some things out. They're working in new pieces. I like to wait to the new year. I really do. Before you start saying, like, okay, what are these teams? The sample sizes are just too small. They're just too small, 10, 11 games in. You know, let's get to 25, 20, 25, 30 games, and then let's look back and see where everybody is. But teams will start quick. Teams will start slow. Washington's a great example of that. This is a group that started 2-8 a season ago, 2-8, and end up winning 49 games.
So, you know, we should all calm down.
Yeah. Just give it time. It's hard because, you know, you're watching games and you're watching teams and you're expecting, you know, Cleveland to come right out of the gates motivated and ready to go. And remember, that's a group that's played in the finals 3 straight years. You know how hard it is to play to June 20th every year? I mean, it's difficult. And so that factors in as well. I mean, I wouldn't think the Warriors had lost. They're not struggling, but they've lost 3 games. I wouldn't think that would have happened at this point in the season. So, there's just so many things that change as this league goes on. Guys are in and out for injuries. I think you just credit Detroit and you credit Orlando and you credit teams that maybe are playing a little bit above what we expected. And, you know, that's good for them. In the East, it's a welcome sight.
I know you said you weren't worried about Cleveland at all. You saw one of their better games, obviously, when they played you guys, put up a bunch of points. I think, yeah, that was the night LeBron went for 57. What was – you know, that night, seeing him at, you know, maybe one of the top forms of his, at the top form of his game.
Oh, I had a great seat for that one. Mm. And it was, you just couldn't do anything but just clap your hands and say, you know what, this guy was just great tonight. That's really all you could do. That was special. And I think I've been fortunate enough to be, you know, in the building for some special performances, and you know that honestly ranks right up there. To see the 57 that he scored, how he did it, that there just wasn't anything that the Wizards could do defensively that night to slow him down. You thought that game might be the game that helped Cleveland turn the corner, but you know, they've obviously had some struggles tonight. Big one for Cleveland tonight in the Garden against the Knicks. That's a big game in the Eastern Conference. The Knicks, a team that's kind of outperforming a little bit what people thought they would be at the start of the season. Obviously, Porzingis is playing incredibly. But, yeah, I'll definitely have my eye on that score while the Wizards and Kings are playing, because that's a big early season test for both teams in the Garden tonight.
Kara Lawson with us here for a couple of more minutes on the load. And if I gave you New York, Orlando, and Detroit, which one of those teams do you think could maintain their early season success the longest?
Oh, I'd probably lean towards Detroit because of point guard play. Hmm. I think they have the most probably the ability to sustain point guard play a little bit longer. Obviously, with New York, it's Jarrett Jack and Ramon Sessions, and then obviously the rookie. So the combination of those guys, what are they, you know, are they going to be able to sustain it? Orlando, Elfrid Payton's back in the lineup. He's done a pretty good job as far as setting up guys and some low turnovers. But I think the way Reggie Jackson's played, the addition of Avery Bradley. I mean, Andre Drummond's making free throws, y'all. I mean, are you kidding me? That's fantastic to see the jump that he's made. And I'll tell you this, Tobias Harris is playing at an all-star level. And it's quiet. He's quiet because he doesn't necessarily, his game doesn't just scream at you the way he plays, but he's been really efficient. We played Detroit the second game of the season, the Wizards did. And I was so impressed with the level he's playing. So if you get a chance, you know, one night on League Pass, check out Tobias Harris for the Pistons, because he's having a super productive, efficient season, playing really, really well.
Now, it's not just because he went to the University of Tennessee, is it?
No, of course not.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah. Right. Well, speaking of that, who's the next football coach, Kara? What are you guys gonna do there?
Oh, I have no idea. We don't have enough time. This would
bring back Lane.
All right. Is that it? Are we done, guys?
Yeah.
No, I have no idea.
Yeah.
I have no idea where my alma mater goes next on the gridiron. It seems like it's been a revolving door of coaches, athletic directors, chancellors. You know, some sustainability is, I think it starts at the top and hiring the right people at the top and then allowing them to make good decisions. And, you know, that when you have that revolving door, that doesn't send the right message to the athletes and to the players. So hopefully Tennessee will get it right with whoever they choose. And, you know, they can get back on the winning track.
The next head coach at the University of Tennessee will be their fifth in the past 11 seasons.
Man.
They had two for 32 years.
Wow.
Yep.
Times have changed. I wonder how Knoxville would react to the return of Lane Kiffin.
I mean, I saw that written today. I went, really? Is that a thing? Wow.
Kara, we know you're busy. Thanks for carving out a few minutes for us. Mid-Range City, into the broadcast today. We'll be watching.
All right, guys.
All right.
Thank you.
That's Kara Lawson.
She's not
doing it. You'd be surprised how many times those types of negotiations go on. It's unbelievable. I even prepped. I was like, hey, you know the Mid-Range City thing we started? She was like, yeah, I know. Okay. All right,
nothing.
Cool.
Crickets?
No. Yeah. You know what we didn't mention to her there? Like, she called the game. Was it, I feel like it was Thursday. Flew to Columbus, Ohio, and did a doubleheader to start the college basketball season.
Wow.
Flew back last night and is ready for Kings Wizards in
what
less than 2 hours.
Yeah,
less than 2 hours. So that'll be happening quite a bit for the next couple of months. So that was Kara Lawson, the Washington Wizards broadcast team. And I actually did forget for a second that George – I remember De'Aaron Fox started. I did forget that George Hill and Zach Randolph were out all together that game.
Well, I mean, obviously the Wizards are a better team than the Kings, but I thought the Kings were put
easy.
In a very difficult spot that day. Because remember, Washington had the bad loss to the Lakers, and it's not a bad loss to lose to the Warriors, but when you're up 17, you have the little scuffle.
It was bad.
It became a bad loss. Then they're thinking they're probably not having Bradley Beal against the Kings. They find out he's playing. Kings are starting all their five young guys, and against a playoff team that was kind of upset. I mean, that was a tough spot to put the Kings in. Still have to play it. But it was never a game. I mean, that was a bad game on so many levels for the Kings, not for Washington.
Yeah.
So today I feel like the Kings will play them better. What does that mean? I mean, when she's bringing up Markieff Morris back, that's going to help him. It moves the bench down to Oubre and other guys, and it's a tough matchup for
Washington. Has really been all over the place. Obviously, yeah. I've watched damn near as many Washington games as I've had, you know, Kings games, and I saw the 57 with LeBron. I'm sure a lot of people saw that, but I saw the strange loss to the Lakers. I saw them beat the Lakers a couple of days. Like, they
a
are just
Dallas and Phoenix.
They're
bad
just
losses.
All over the place, you know. And that you know, Phoenix beating them, I think, came a couple of days after Garrett Temple missed that three, and the Kings lost to Phoenix, and it's like, and what is going on here?
Right.
Like, they're a weird team. Like, they could slip up. And I know Kara was talking about them. You know, they have. It feels like maybe, you know, they've won the last two. Maybe they've kind of gotten themselves going here. But I don't feel like any team, with the exception of the team you're not watching, and that's the Detroit Pistons, and the team that you're hearing a lot about, that's the Boston Celtics. Those are the two teams that I think have really gotten themselves together. Now, obviously, Houston and Golden State, they have pretty much the same records. But you're expecting that. Like that. By the way, James Harden, what he is doing right now. Like, just I don't know why it's so glaring. Maybe it's because I don't have my Russell Westbrook glasses on, and I'm just watching him from a different perspective right now. But damn it, what they're doing is good, man. And still no Chris Paul.
That's it. I mean, you would think
still no Chris Paul.
They will be better when he's fully implemented. I mean, they could go backwards a little bit when he comes back, just because that'll be another adjustment. But they're good. They are really good and dangerous in all the things you're looking for from a Houston team that can beat just about anybody on any night.
You want a quick note before, did we tie up all King's business? We're going to game night here in about 9 minutes, 8 minutes or so. The New York Times is reporting, this is going to be the single greatest story in the history of the NFL because it keeps getting better. Just when you think it can't get any better, it gets better. The NFL owners have given Jerry Jones a cease and desist warning over his threat to sue the National Football League. Now, that's according to the New York Times. Mm-hmm. This is coming after Mike Florio of Pro Football Talk last night reported that there is what's called a nuclear option that is in the bylaws of the NFL. It's called the NFL Constitution article, and I love this, and I'll never forget it. It's 8/13, August 13th. That's my birthday.
Mm-hmm.
If Jerry Jones is removed as the owner of the Dallas Cowboys because of something in the Constitution of the NFL that says 8/13, that'll be the greatest birthday gift I'll get for the rest of my entire life. But apparently there's something that the owners, it's similar to what they say with players in conduct detrimental to the league.
Right.
In this case, they can say same exact use of words, conduct detrimental to the league, in which a fine would not be an appropriate enough action. They can essentially force the forfeiture of the Dallas Cowboys from Jerry Jones.
Wow. All because of his desire to now push back on Roger Goodell, on whatever other potential lawsuit that he's looking at, that I think at the end he's just got to back away from that.
It all boils back down. I was having a discussion on the text line about what this is all about. Like, it boils down to the GQ Citizen of the Year, that guy. And I don't – are you buying the jet for life and the $50 million a year?
Are you, did you what?
Those were allegedly Goodell's contract demands, which I'm pretty confident were probably floated out there by one Jerry Jones. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, Roger Goodell wants $50 million a year and a private jet for the rest of his life.
I'd like that.
I would, too.
Yeah.
I'm going to bring that up in my upcoming negotiations.
Yeah.
Like, hey, this is what I want.
Right.
See how far that gets me.
Can you do this for me? Can we get there? Can we meet in a happy place in between?
So that's the latest on that story. One a little more close to home that has just popped up here. Your Oakland Raiders. Gerrion Conley, IR.
Mm.
He's done for the year after playing just two games. Ugh. I really thought he was going to help out with that bad secondary when he got back. But Raiders cornerback Gerrion Conley will not be back. The Raiders have put him on season-ending IR after playing just two games. Thank you so much for being with us. A little bit of a weird schedule. We are done for the day. Jay Ross will be back in 1 hour at 3:30 for Kings Live. We'll have tip-off of Kings basketball coming just after 4 o'clock. Game night coming up next. Kings, Wizards tonight.